This is CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
You know what that sound means? It's Malcolm Dooley.
What's up, y'all? You're chilling with the worst guys. The host of today is Malcolm Dooley, and I'm out here killing it, waiting for my boy Rehab to come through. So as of now, it's just me, myself, and I keeping it tight, holding it down for you on this Wednesday afternoon. I hope your hump day is going as smoothly as it possibly can. It's about to get better with us out here as we talk about a lot of interesting things, as we always do, man. The first and most important thing that you need to know about today's show is that we're talking about black consciousness. As usual, you know, that's a hot topic in our country, in our lives, as black people as well. But not just any black consciousness. It's black consciousness in reference to television and what influence television has on the way black people think about themselves, the way they are represented on a broader scale. We'll be looking at shows that have been emerging from the US market and been really popular over the last couple of years. Power, for example, Luke Cage, Atlanta. These are all examples of shows that are written by black writers and have black actors starring in those shows. So ultimately, it's the telling of black stories by black writers. And what does that do for our society, yo? But yeah, I hope you guys are all well and all for a damn good show already out there. Just waiting on what's happening with this boy Rehab, but he'll let me know as soon as possible. As for now, you know what? Actually, I want to play y'all a track, man. I want to play you a track that we haven't played in a long time, and I feel like it needs some radio airtime, man. It really does.
Born for the K, man. She remember my sprinter, said I was in the great fan. I'm well, cutie. I like your bougie booty. Come here, come by do me. Well, let's make a movie. Hell, you know my repertoire is like a...
Hey, actually, we don't want to hear that song, guys. To be honest with you, I actually was just waiting on my boy Rehab to join me in studio.
What's happening, South Africa and the whole world, since we international?
You know we international out here in these Cliff Central streets, baby.
You know.
So yeah, you are with the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Dooley. I am your host for the afternoon, chilling with the big boy Rehab, and we always got the freshest news, the freshest content on the Cliff Central platform, man. It's crazy out here.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Wake up out there. So tell me, what's been going on with you, dog? Anything new? Anything anybody should know about?
Hey, man, a lot of things have been happening out here in these streets, but like I always like to do, you know, I don't say anything until shit actually materializes.
You like to keep it low-key.
Yeah, keep it low-key. Well, when y'all finally see it and y'all start congratulating me, you know, I'm joking. you know what I'm saying.
It's okay. They don't need to know. They'll just see, right?
I mean, when it eventually does come out, I'll already be nexting on the next clutch move. That's what it is, you know, always consistent, always on the grind.
Yeah. Always working before the work is given to you.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You need to work hard before you have to.
I think that's ultimately
the message we're trying to get across here. But yeah, anyway, it's a Wednesday afternoon. It's a bit cloudy outside in Johannesburg today. I don't know why, but we bring it here to bring the sunshine, bring the heat. And yeah, like I said earlier, we're talking about black consciousness and the power of TV and what it means for us as black people and what it does in the actual media. But before we get into that, you know, we always get you some news with the views from the worst guys, because, I mean, everybody else giving you that stale as news. We're going to tell you how we feel about the shit that's popping.
A little bit of flavor.
A little bit of flavor, baby.
Hey, this flavor is too much. This is like Raja Spice.
Dog, it's a remix now. It's No More Parties and Lay mixed with Playboy Extra Extra Read All About It.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So
that's
anyway,
how fucked up the news is, I guess.
Yeah,
then, right?
I guess that's what it is. All right, continuing with what we're talking about. The news, baby, the news. We've got it all for you today. The first and biggest story for me personally, I don't know about how the rest of you guys feel.
Is it Praprabs?
Nah, well, Praprabs is coming. He's always on the news.
Praprabs.
Yeah. He's coming through now. But before we get to Praprabs, it's the fact that government has decided in and of its own accord to leave the International Criminal Court, which is quite spicy, if you ask me.
Juicy.
Because what that means is that the government is just out here to come play games with their criminals, dog. They don't want to get busted by the ICC, or they don't want to get into any trouble. And this is very problematic to me because, firstly, it wasn't a public decision like Brexit or any other exit from major unions such as the ICC. This was just done, and nobody knows why the real reason is. Apparently, the ICC is biased towards African leaders. But I mean, like, African leaders have been doing dodgy shit, bruh. Let's be honest.
Hey, wait. So you trying to tell me those Western leaders haven't been doing dodgy shit either?
No, they have. But now? It's not that that's the only reason why South Africa should leave. The problem with the Western leaders and them not being able to actually put any real charges towards them is that they haven't actually signed. A lot of big Western countries haven't signed as part of the ICC, so they can't really do anything to those countries. But being part of the ICC, it generally protects the masses in Africa, people going through genocide, etc. And I don't like the idea that the ICC is biased towards just Africans, because Africans have been in trouble of late. Omar Arbushi, if we look at guys like that, we look at other leaders in Nigeria who have caused trouble. It's just, it's too much going on for us to ignore. And I think us leaving the ICC is kind of a way to dodge more bullets. I think that's something we're very good at doing, actually, as a country.
As a country?
Is dodging bullets. We out here always dodging, doing the needle.
No, but I feel like, you know, people of non-color might be getting scared now. Now there might be a genocide. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't get comfortable.
It's been real out here.
No, but I'm saying if that's what you're telling me, I mean, like, basically you can say, you're saying that when it comes to our country and any criminal charges that can be laid against, not necessarily only the government, I'm assuming, but just in general?
Yeah, it's people who can cause mass crimes against humanity, like Omar al-Bashir, who we allowed into the country even though he was being looked for by the ICC, the International Criminal Court. We let him in our country to come and chill and park back.
Why are we like this, though? Like, why do we... Like, we had Radovan Krishna just chilling in our country.
That's what I'm saying is the problem. We want to be dodgy, right? We want to escape these loopholes in the law by just exiting out of things like the ICC.
And they wonder why drugs like Nyaupe breed, you know, in our fucking streets.
We like trouble, dog. That's what I've come to the conclusion. We love trouble. That's our problem, actually.
You see, the thing is, South Africa likes attention, but the wrong attention.
Yeah, we have to burn shit. Yesterday, I was actually at Kitchener's. I was taking a walk before I was prepping to go on, and there were some homies around the tire. Guys were wearing gas masks and shit. And On a casual Tuesday night on the corner of Juta, and they were starting to light this tire on fire, bruh. I was like, God, dude, this is where these guys are starting fires, because you see it in the news, but you don't actually see the guys lighting the fire. I'm like, yo.
There's a Khosi on Twitter, he's King G1G, right? He took a clip this morning on Instagram, on Twitter, right? And he's like, yeah, we out here, you know, this day by the Holy Trinity. Yeah. As he turns around and he puts his camera selfie mode, but you just see a cop car on fire. Casual. I'm like, we out here. And I'm like, okay, this is casual now.
These protests are real. People have died. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it anymore, to be honest.
Hey, man, listen, I won't lie. Yesterday, when I had to tell my lady that I'm going to go pick you up in Bramfontein, she was just like, listen, Lifis yo. I said, Nio sin in my liovani, you know, just know I loved you. And I'm like, hey, man, you know.
I was wondering where the Afrikaans was going to come for you.
What do you mean? Ek praat die taal, my bro. Prachtige Afrikaans.
Prachtige Afrikaans.
I might not speak Siva Delan Afrikaans, but hey, listen, the message gets across. You know, Afrikaans saved my life, hey?
How?
Like, you know, black guys are scared of coloreds.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just go on that.
Yeah. Black guys are scared of coloreds. Let's be honest. I mean, when you're fighting with a colored one on one, the minute you cock back to punch this motherfucker, now all of a sudden there's seven.
Yeah.
It's never one on one, and it's never a fair fight.
And there's always knives involved.
Or a prick, bruh. You know. So now this guy is trying to mug me. You know, this Zulu chap. This Zulu chap is trying to mug me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, bruh, it's not gonna work. You know, I'm already pulling out the colored accent. Then he's like, no, bruh. Kali before yak. So I'm like, kiki me bra, chike me ni, kenji ni marisa, you mach ye, no up charge, whoa. Dog, that guy slides at tootsie. I'm telling you.
Yeah, so you gotta, maybe we can figure out who your girl is, cause you've been keeping it low key, but now you're giving it to her, she's Afrikaans. Alright, so we got one.
I could have said, Hioria, ungai Bramfontein. Ungai Bramfontein.
Alright, cool. Let's not get into that too much before we.
I'm just making it a mystery for you know. I could make it because I followed the Buddha Gesh. You know, she could be international.
Alright. Let's move on to the next thing on the news. Okay, South Africans. South Africans are waiting in anticipation for Pravin Gordhan to deliver his midterm budgetary speech, which is supposed to take place this afternoon. Last year, this time, Ntantla Nene had to deliver this speech, but it was gone unheard, basically, because the Fees Must Fall protests were on a roll this time outside Parliament. There was the white shield. Do you remember the white shield, my boy?
Bruh.
This has been the most crazy ride that we've ever had at South Africa.
No. Let me just tell you. A white shield is I was really taken aback, but like, really? So a group of white people just going to stand in front of black people and y'all are not going to do anything. But the minute we stand in front of them, same white people, y'all want to,
that's where the rubber bullets come. That's when they show their
faces. It's just because our skin is thicker, you know. Minute that rubber bullet, look at that Indian chick, bro. She tipped 9 bullets, bro. Tipped. Papa. I hope she doesn't walk around like 50 Cent, you know.
This is a war, dog. This is real war.
I bet she's busy singing Family in the Mask. Too soon?
No, dog, that is actually racist, bruh. That's racist. If you laughed at that, you're a racist.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
He got shot 9 times. 50 Cent got shot 9 times. You know, you find him in the club. Maybe you find her in the mosque.
In the mosque, you're doing my prayers to Ramadan, whatever the case may be.
You know, I don't eat pork. No. Okay.
Now we're taking it a bit far. Okay, so anyway, Pravin Gordhan is made to deliver this midterm budget speech. He has a lot to talk about. Primarily the parastatals in South Africa and the state that they're in, which is shambles. So we're talking about the SAA, we're talking about the SABC. These companies, parastatal companies, have actually not been running well at all. And they have a major influence on our economy and how we actually produce money. So that's Pravin Gordhan's duty today. And he's obviously still being hunted by the Hawks, and maybe Thuli Madonsela might be hunted as well, because you know we do have a new public protector, Busisiwe Mkwebane, and she doesn't want the state capture report to go through, so she might be on the side of the Zumas. Which,
what do you mean might? You see, also you now,
yeah,
also
yeah,
you now. As the worst guys, we must call these people out.
Okay. So Busisiwe seems like she's a bitch.
What do you mean seems? If it smells like a bitch, walks like a bitch, and talks like a bitch, it's a bitch.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So she's our new public protector. And I don't think she has any interest in protecting the public at all. But
none
I guess
whatsoever.
We still have to wait and see, man. She hasn't really done anything wrong except for the state capture thing.
You know, I feel like the government thinks Fees Must Fall is on mute, bro.
I think Fees Must Fall is on mute, dude. This thing is just going on and on, and I genuinely don't know where the line is. Where are we going to draw the line? Where is it going to end? Do you see an end in sight? Is there anything that would happen or can happen that will make you say, okay, this is going to bring a close to this protest?
I don't know. But the more radical our people are, you know, we think that, you know, it'll bring about change, or it will get the attention of those in power to call the right, you know, to make the right call, you right?
Yeah.
But that hasn't been working. But when we're peaceful, it's still nothing works. So what doesn't, you know what?
You know, I think ultimately, nobody's going to give in on either side. So the universities are going to burn to the ground, and then there's no education as opposed to free education.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're out there protesting, like I said, man, I treat the Fees Must Fall protest like I treated apartheid. I'm just glad I wasn't there for it, dog. But fight your fight if you need to. Just look at what your fight is worth and whether you're actually going to get what you want out of it. But I ain't about telling people what to fight for, man, because you don't know what people are going through at home.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody thinks that their burdens are the heaviest, bro.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
don't know what we're going through.
All right, so that's been the news. We'll get into the topic of the day very soon, which is black consciousness, but primarily in TV.
Television.
Here's the song of ours for the news, because the last one was a bit long. Yeah, 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 that was the news for y'all. And now we're going to go into our topic of the day, black consciousness and what it is in TV and mainstream media and the way that we're represented. So the reason why I've decided to come with this topic is because, man, this is the first time where black people are on television telling black stories that have been written by blacks, that are starring black people, and don't vilify black people as, you know, hoodlums, gangsters, druggies.
But it's racist.
It's, yeah, no, it's
that's, apparently.
Apparently. No, but specifically when you look at superheroes, there's a new show which has recently come out, Luke Cage, which is on Netflix. And I absolutely love it, man. As a superhero, Luke Cage has so much grace. He's a young, working black man, and he just happens to have these superpowers which he uses to help his city, Harlem, the city of Harlem.
Funny enough, like, this nigga gets popped. Like, they shoot him.
And these
bullets do not penetrate.
Yeah, because his skin is bulletproof, apparently.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, that could be in relative to how many Americans be getting shot.
No matter
how many times you shoot at us, we ain't gonna die.
We stay standing. We stay standing. That is 100% true. So, yeah, that might actually be a metaphor that I've never thought about, but I do believe that there are certain messages that come across from shows like Luke Cage, because they're actually pretty old. Like, Luke Cage is an old comic. It was created by Chio Hodari Koka a while ago, and it stars Mike Copter. So essentially, it tells of the black story, the young man in Harlem, and Luke Cage often makes references to black consciousness hero in the American time period and what it means to be a nigger. He refuses to be called nigger. He's one of those people, you know, them Martin Luther, Malcolm X type of guys. So it's a good example to set for black children who see superheroes on television as their idols. Because before Luke Cage, man, we had fucking Hancock, who was a drunkard sleeping on the side of trains and just causing havoc in the world. Do you remember Hancock, your boy Will Smith?
You know, that actually touched me a bit when I had to reflect on that movie. Because I'm thinking now, you're playing a stereotypical role, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Of what the black man is perceived to be in
society. An alcoholic bum.
You know.
Who doesn't do much.
But.
And you're into jail.
And I did my research on this guy, Will Smith. My boy, you know. My father. Yeah. I'm joking. Yeah, man. This guy, you know, he turned down a role to play a gay-ass nigga.
Who? Will Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Back in the day. So I'm like, I mean, you turned down the role just to, you know, change your sexuality, but now you're playing the stereotypical version of a black man or what it's meant to be like. I mean, come on, really?
Would you take a gay role as an actor?
Yeah?
Would you take a gay role as an actor?
I'll kill a gay ass. Let me tell you, player.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know, so I liked you and I want you. Now we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I see you likes it the hard way.
So you know. Would you kiss a dude on screen? Like, okay, there's no tongue involved.
You see now. Why must you go all the way up?
That's the gay role. Like, you'd have to at least interact intimately with another dude. Would you be comfortable with kissing a guy on screen? It's not a big deal. Like,
you know what I'm saying? You know, we got stunt doubles these days. You know what I'm saying? Stunt doubles. Okay.
It's getting naughty.
All I know is every man has his price. You know, even Luke Cage.
All right, cool. That's one of the shows that have been out that I'm really enjoying. I don't know how many of you guys are watching it. Let us know if you are at @_worstguys on Twitter. And you can also hit Cliff Central up at cliffcentral.com. And tell us what you think about the emerging black television and the writers. The next show I absolutely love this guy, Donald Glover, right? He's also known as Childish Gambino. He started writing a show called Atlanta, and it's about Earn. He's the main character, Donald Glover, and he is supposedly managing an up-and-coming rapper whose name is Paperboy. And it just talks of that struggle to get out, a struggle which most black people face, especially if you're a black person who's trying to be an artist, an entertainer. How do you get that money from being poor and being a rapper, especially when to a lot of people rappers did. You know, you have to talk about being a paper boy in order to get any paper. Yo. There's no real substance in that.
You gotta have bros in Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. You have to stumble your words in order to get a Kanye feature. Yeah, so that's Atlanta by Donald Glover. I love the writing. He's a bit of a weird dude. I think anybody who is a fan knows that he's quite strange. But ultimately, I like the fact that he is writing the story of how to get out. And we all face, well, not all. Oh, do you think all black people face the struggle of how to get out? Or do you think there's some that have just born so privileged that they don't really face the black struggle, which is an economic struggle?
Look, I think we face it in our own ways, all right? Yeah. Even the black guy whose parents are wealthy, you know, you're staying in Sandton, you know, and everything is nice.
You got that Prava.
You know, you went to Crawford Sandton, you know.
Yeah.
Even that black guy, you know, he might think his life is lit, but go into the corporate industry, my boy.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough.
Welcome, welcome. Now let's see whether your guaps talks or not.
Yeah. I love Atlanta by Donald Glover, written by black people, starring black people. It's just, I love what's happening on TV because a lot of the times the way media influences our thinking is very real. You think about shows that have been coming up that have been popular throughout time, from starting with Friends even, how white people were portrayed in all of those shows, rarely featuring any black people even though they've been existing. And now a show like Luke Cage comes out where the cast is almost entirely black. And there are criticisms of Luke Cage being racist, the show, because there aren't enough white people, apparently. But I mean, like,
so we mustn't hold ourselves highly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think is the ultimate point of having shows like these and them becoming popular, is that we don't have to hold ourselves to the Hancock standard. We can hold ourselves to a higher standard where we don't need to feature whiteness in order to be good or great.
We've already been great.
Yeah, we've just been blocked out of the limelight.
It was an eclipse sort of, you know what I'm saying?
So now this eclipse is moving with these shows. And also one thing I wanted to touch on this topic is the influence of the black struggle. Because like Luke Cage, he went to prison. Although from what I see, he wasn't guilty. When we look at a show like Power is also one of these shows which are starring black people. It's got your boy 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson. It's a G-Unit production. they base the show on the drug game. The drug game is...
and how you can wash your money.
Yeah.
Power basically teaches you how to gezi mali yako.
Yeah. But I mean, the drug game is a real part of black culture. And I know we're talking about American-based TV shows, but, you know, American TV does influence a lot of the free world. That's why they call it the leaders of the free world, because they influence what we want, what we aspire to get in terms of entertainment. Because we do have a lot of black stories in South Africa.
Yeah.
Ekasi stories and Zansi Magic and the likes. But the funny thing about those shows is that they target to two black people specifically, which is not a bad thing, but white people need to be aware
of these stories.
Okay.
Whilst you're on the South African stories that are being told like SABC and stuff, you know what my problem is?
What?
Too many of these South African actors are being recycled, bruh.
Yo, dude, yeah, it's the
far
same
too
guys
many.
All the
it's
time.
It's like they don't want to fucking give opportunities to newcomers. How are you going to find new talent if you're not going to put nobody new on stage?
Well, the gates have been held. There's gatekeepers in the industry, and
yeah, man, that's the thing. As the worst guys, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take a different angle, because if they won't let us in through the front, we'll come through the side.
We're gonna break the door down, we're gonna break the ceiling. Everything must go.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for a new way, man. We're looking to represent the truth, especially with the youth coming through with so much influence and so much power and so much media that they absorb is American-based. That's the truth about our generation, millennials, if you'd like to call us that, because we are the internet age. We can access things like Netflix and the like. So,
not yet, because like data is kind of.
Yeah. Now, but yeah, but data must fall. Data must fall. Don't forget. But some of our homies have that Wafa.
Wafa.
You gotta have a Wafa guy in your life, guys. You gotta have a Wi-Fi guy. Yeah. So I was talking about the use of things that black people are generally involved in their culture, which is a drug culture, for example, power. It still shows black people as criminals, essentially.
Yeah.
But there's another side to the coin where he's trying to get out of the game. The main character, whose name I have forgotten, but I'll look up here now.
Ghost.
Yeah. But his real name is Omari Hardwick. Yeah, Omari Hardwick. So he's trying to get clean, but the game keeps pulling him back in. And I think that speaks to a lot about who
we
are.
And it also shows, how that old white money will try and wash you out.
Yeah.
Because his ghost club eventually gets bought out, and then he has to try and work his way to own it again.
Yeah.
If you understand
by the
what I'm
white, yeah, it gets bought exactly. By the white money. Yeah.
So it really portrays what's happening in reality, and not just, hey, this is a TV show, you know, it's play. This is real life.
Ultimately, we're trying to get out. That's the story that I'm seeing coming through, and the idea of black consciousness that come through from these TV shows for me is that we still do have that history of oppression and being in prison and being involved in drugs, but we're trying to get out. We're trying to get clean. We're trying to be Luke Cage. We're trying to be heroes. So I'm very happy that there are shows that are doing this for black people in America and all over the world, and showing that we have more substance. I'm actually afraid for the rest of these people in the world, because we're too hot. We're too fire. It's like hip hop. Once hip hop took over the music industry, there's no going back.
Yeah.
Hip hop is done with the game.
Once you had bros in Atlanta, it's over, bruh.
Yeah. But so now I think in TV, the same is going to happen.
Slowly but surely, you know what I'm starting to see happen? South Africa is being put on the map and recognized for its arts. Right?
Yes.
You know, people like Trevor Noah, people like Casper, a.k.a. really making, even I don't know how to say it, but like in the sense of personalities, you know, Bonang doing her thing as well internationally. That's what I love seeing, you know. That's what I love seeing. But it's only a matter of time before this Coke bottle just bursts. Because right now it's busy spating out on the sides and shit like that. With what happened at the Mamas with Future and Nasty C. I mean, that was fucking...
That's crazy. You're talking about Future bringing Nasty C on.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that is mad dope, if you ask me, because we've been needing to headline our own shows and to have an international
and
act
that's,
open
that's
for you.
And that's what AKA was talking about, let me tell you. Yeah. Like, having to open for other niggas. Nah.
When you're in your own land.
Then people must come and open for you, man.
Yeah. So there really has been a great shift in consciousness. I don't think it's just in South Africa. It's a worldwide phenomenon. And I don't know where it's going to take us, because we're taking over one city at a time.
That's it, man.
Yeah, we're taking over one city at a time. And I'm glad to see it happening, because we've seen it in... our ideas of black consciousness with the writers like Steve Biko, but it's actually starting to take form and shape in the real world, and black people are literally starting to have power. So shout out to the writers of those shows and the creators.
Kudos, like I've
mentioned, actually we need to get a round of applause going for these homies. We'll start off with Donald Glover's my favorite. We'll give him one. We'll go another one. Luke Cage, which is created by Chio Hodari Coker. And we'll go for another one.
Don't forget my boy Curtis, man.
Yeah, with your boy Curtis. Well, the show Powers by, like I said.
I can't believe we didn't even mention Empire.
Empire as well, but you know why I didn't mention Empire? Let's specifically, because I think it's getting whack, bro. Like, season one was dope, but season two is, I don't know.
I think
it's
it was that drip. Drip, drip, drippity, drop. trip. You know that guy's actually a rapper in real life?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
What happened was, I watched one of his interviews. What happened was, he was an up-and-coming rapper. Then he got the opportunity to play the role of the gay-ass rapper on Empire, right? And then he was stuck in a dilemma. Do I continue being a struggling artist trying to make it in the rap industry? Or do I play the role of a nigga who's already made it, but my rhymes are fucking whack? You know? He went for the money. He made a wise decision as a struggling, hungry artist. Because you can see that nigga's fans, number one. He's finished. It's just bone and skin.
So he was hungry. And he now he's hungry. Eating.
He's now eating, he's eating, peering on Sway, you know, singing Drip Drop. You know.
So I left Empire out, but it's also a perfect example because it shows black people in positions of power, owning businesses and being influential in society.
And Vanilla Killers.
Vanilla Killers representing always, always. Yeah, man, so that's been our topic for today, black consciousness and how it is reflected on TV. I hope we've kind of given you something to think about because that's what these shows have done for me. Now, you don't just watch TV. Well, some people do, but I like to learn from what's happening around me. And black consciousness is a real thing and it's starting to show itself in the real world, in the artistic world, starting with black people telling black stories. And it leads to all sorts of things. We need to read more African literature, for example, or just let us flourish for a second. I mean, like, everybody's had their chance.
I think what also needs to be noted is that it's not a thing of us hating white people. We are just pro-black.
Yeah, that always needs to be meant. We are pro-black because people haven't been pro-black for long enough.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So, let's just wrap up by telling the peeps what we'll be getting up to. And also, we'll obviously finish off with the freestyle with the worst guys, as we always do, and some words of wisdom, man. Do you have anything popping off, Sue?
Like I said, I don't mention it until it's signed, sealed, delivered.
Alright, okay. I'll tell you guys. I know what he's talking about, and you guys, I'm not gonna expose it. But you guys are gonna be really happy. We got something dope coming out. That's something from Rehab, as to say it. As on my side, as usual, I'll be hitting the comedy streets. You can check me at Poppy's on Mondays, Kitchener's on Tuesdays. You know, it's always going down, making the people laugh. And yeah. I think we could get it to the rap.
It must be a new beat.
A new beat. You're always looking for a new beat, man.
That's the thing. That's how you test your skills and hone your skills, you know. And please do not tell the ladies to suck your fingers.
Hey, what if I like that, bro? What do you want me to do?
Okay. Must I expose you? What else you like, huh?
Hey, bro. You see now. Don't do that, dog. Don't do that. People need to keep it private. I don't ask you what you like in the bedroom, do I?
No, but I already tell the people because I want them to enjoy the sexual experience as much as I do. Sharing is caring.
Alright, so
eat that pussy.
So they enjoy the sexual experiences vicariously through the Cliff Central podcast that we have. Alright, so even more than the interesting content we have, you can come to listen to our show just so you can live vicariously through Rhea's sex life. From what I hear, it's pretty dope.
Every woman deserves an orgasm.
Every woman.
If you ain't getting it, ladies, well,
come listen to the podcast, essentially. All right, let's wrap up with this beat. This is a hot one. I think we should actually turn the volume up in the studio even.
Hey, okay. I think this one we need to bounce off each other.
Okay.
Just go
to it and I'll do it.
My rhyme's so whack, it's going insane. Buses are burning in Bromfontein. Oh my gosh, it's burning down to the ground. Listen to the sound of the worst guys, no disguise. Supersize with large fries. I go disguise.
Oh, large fries, I hear the features cry. Cause I'm so skinny, I'm a hungry artist. I should be like Akeem, get a startup and get the money. Everybody think I'm funny, but it's okay. I'm still cool, I'm still a fucking serious dude. Cause I
hate ball so hard, but I'm broke. Oh my gosh, I didn't choke. I got paid yesterday. It was the 21st, came my way. Yes and now it's a Wednesday. We do it in the worst way. Me and Malcolm Goulet, I'm Goulet.
Carry on with this sick flow. Everybody wanna know how we do this every week. But y'all niggas are just too weak. You don't have the power to go on this beat the way I do. So let me do it for you.
Here comes the chorus.
Right here comes the chorus. Cause the
balls are hard, motherfuckers wanna be us. Worst guys. Worst guys. Balls are hard, motherfuckers wanna be us. Worst guys.
One more.
She says she wanna see me in that studio. But she ain't feeling me cause I'm so cold. I might just marry Lala Hirayama. I saw her in the studio. Oh my god.
Pronoun, Boise, Mini, Tamini, and Tulo. What am I? Tulo? Don't even know who I'm talking about. Amanda DuPont. I will come and now you I was about to tell him I was gonna do the dirty deed.
Yeah, do you wanna give us some words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom today. Okay. I'm trying to think of something.
Just say whatever comes to your mind.
Listen, people. There's three things to the key of success in life for me, alright? First you gotta affirm it, alright? Then you gotta believe it, alright? And then dominate. That's it. That's it. Affirm, believe, dominate.
Nice. Get the people going.
Yo, it's been Malcolm Julian, Real Business Seller. We are the worst guys, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
This is CliffCentral.com.